This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Nagmeh Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, and I testified before Congress yesterday. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
So as we speak, Pastor Abedini remains imprisoned in Iran, sharing a cell with violent criminals who have more than once surrounded Pastor Abedini as he tried to sleep, wielding knives and threatening his life.
We must keep our attention on the persecution of Pastor Abedini and insist that our government officials demand his release in all meetings they have with their Iranian counterparts. Each and every human life is precious, and as members of Congress, we have a particular duty to look out for our citizens who are persecuted and wrongly jailed in distant lands.
Ms. Abedini, it's a high honor and privilege to welcome you to the two subcommittees.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittees. My name is Nagmeh Abedini. When I spoke in front of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission in March of this year, I had anticipated that I would battle the Iranian government for my husband's freedom. I never anticipated that I would also have to battle my own government and that the journey would become even much more difficult than it had been.
Mrs. Abedini, my family and I pray for you every day and for your husband. My husband and I spent 4 years as missionaries in Eastern Europe involved in orphanage ministry as well. And we appreciate your heart and can relate to your heart, and we appreciate that. I'm a co-sponsor of the resolution calling for your husband's release. I've signed on to multiple letters on his behalf, and frankly, I am deeply embarrassed, which is why I wanted to be able to come and sit in this hearing today.
I don't have an agenda. There's nothing more than I would like to see my country united on an important issue such as human rights. I've been fighting tirelessly for my husband's release for over a year. It's been a lonely road for me and the kids as well.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. As you may have seen on television or heard on the broadcast yesterday, Nagmeh Abedini, Pastor Saeed Abedini's wife, and I testified before Congress yesterday. And we testified for an update on the efforts to, as we've said in our hashtag and you've seen online, save Saeed. What has the U.S. government been doing? What have they been telling us? And after Secretary of State Kerry said to the same committee that we testified in the same room at the same table 2 days before we testified that Saeed was not part of the nuclear negotiations, Congress has a lot of questions. Secretary Kerry has offered a classified briefing, and we wanted to make sure Congress takes him up on that offer and is prepared with the right questions. So as you'll hear throughout the broadcast today, you'll hear some of the testimony of the hearing yesterday. We played some of it yesterday on the broadcast. We'll play more today. You also hear some of the interviews that we've done following the interview. I was literally just on Fox News this morning with Nagmeh Abedini. Nagmeh was on with Greta Van Susteren last night. We'll have some of that all today on Jay Sekulow Live. Most importantly, you can still take action for Saeed. We have, and we made it clear in the hearing, and many of the articles have said it was a surprise to some, we are supporting increased sanctions on Iran. We believe that threat must remain, and that if any of these interim agreements that have been happening between the P5 plus one, which includes the United States, of course, in negotiations and agreements with Iran, must have sanctions ready to go and ready to drop if necessary. If you want to support us in those efforts, people ask, you know, how can I help save Saeed? Well, first, you can be in prayer, especially during this holiday season. The family still keeps hope and faith that maybe Saeed will come home before Christmas. So stay in prayer. But you can also join us because the White House is lobbying aggressively to keep these sanctions from being increased. They are telling Congress, don't increase the sanctions. They're saying that will hurt the negotiations. Just the same excuse they used, the reason why not to bring up Saeed. And by the way, you may have seen that one of the three Americans that was being discussed, lumped in with Saeed by our government, was exposed yesterday by the Associated Press as a CIA agent. Saeed should not be in the same category as caught or captured CIA agents in Iran. And it was absurd that the U.S. government has been using, even mentioning them in the same sentences as that they're somehow the same. So, folks, we need you as things continue to change always. And we continue this fight to stand with us to save Saeed. Join this petition. Final day to do so. We'll be moving on to a different topic. Of course, we continue to fight for Saeed. But next week on radio will be somewhere different. So if you want to join this petition, call now, 877-989-2255. It's the final day for you to do so. That's 877-989-2255. Or sign the petition online at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. A huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. You know, both Nagme Abedini and I testified before Congress yesterday. We played some of the sound bites yesterday on the broadcast. More of that in the second half hour. But since many of you don't get that on your radio station, though it's always available online and at SiriusXM at aclj.org online, we wanted to play that for you today in case you missed some of that. Again, this is my testimony you're about to hear before two different subcommittees that came together, the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We had 16 members of Congress participating, 14 Republicans, 2 Democrats. Take away what you will from that. And one of the only Democrat who stayed around for questioning got into a bit of a tussle with me on the issue, and he represents that missing American who was exposed after our hearing as a CIA agent. And so he was telling us, how dare you say the administration isn't doing its job? It is. And of course, we find out he doesn't even know the true facts around his constituent. Not that we don't want Robertson Levinson home. Saeed Abedini should not be in the same kind of discussions as a CIA agent who was caught by a foreign government that you could consider being an enemy of the United States. Check out my testimony before the House Foreign Affairs, 2 joint subcommittees yesterday. We'll have Nagme's as well come up later on the broadcast.
My primary purpose for submitting this testimony is to impress upon Congress the desperate need for great urgency as Pastor Saeed is in a dire predicament. Congress has done more than any branch of government. Congress has been there, and it's been bipartisan. But first, let me begin by, again, thanking you and your staffs for having this hearing. You know, we started back in March at the Lantos Commission, and now here we are months later. The United States, in an unprecedented move that we did not predict or could not predict then, is now sitting with Iran. And I think it's important for us to point out right now that we don't see this, or religious liberty at all, as a partisan issue. So I want to recognize that the unbelievable bipartisan efforts that have occurred within this Congress on behalf of Pastor Saeed Abedini. We don't forget that, and when we speak out on Saeed's behalf, and if we are critical of the administration, we always make sure to mention that there's been that bipartisan support. I'm hopeful that today's hearing will highlight the commitment to this case that so many of you have shown, and the world will hear the U.S. government speaking with one voice. That's so clear. One voice. In strong defense of our fellow citizen, Pastor Saeed Abedini. At such a critical juncture, with the U.S. government literally sitting across the table from Iran, we could never have imagined that that would occur when we first testified before the Lantos Commission in March. At the table, for the first time in 34 years, we need to ensure that Pastor Saeed and the other Americans mentioned here today, wrongfully detained, are seen as not a marginal issue, but an essential of those ongoing diplomatic talks. Pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen, has been unnecessarily separated from his wife Nagme and two children for 17 months, 444 days. The Islamic Republic of Iran has arbitrarily detained and imprisoned Pastor Saeed, subjecting him to violence and abuse, violating both Iranian law and international norms. His trial lacked transparency and due process, and yet appeals courts in Tehran upheld his conviction and 8-year prison sentence. Pastor Saeed has exhausted all legal remedies in Iran to appeal this arbitrary conviction and his detention. His freedom now rests solely on the success of diplomatic efforts by the United States government and world leaders dedicated to human rights. Now, Nagme has outlined the timeline of Saeed's case, and a more detailed outline is in my submitted remarks. Allow me to briefly highlight just a couple of more egregious facts about the legal proceedings. First, Saeed was detained arbitrarily and while conducting humanitarian work with the full approval of the Iranian government. Next, Saeed was imprisoned, subjected to solitary confinement without even being informed about the charges against him. Third, Saeed was informed of the official charges against him less than a week before his sham trial and denied access to his attorney until less than 24 hours before that trial. Finally, Saeed and his attorney were barred from attending the second half of the trial, the half in which, quote, key witness testimony was taken, thereby denying his legal team the ability to question or even know who those witnesses were. Predictably, this resulted in Saeed's conviction, an 8-year prison sentence on January 27, 2013. Judge Pir Abbasi, who presided over Pastor Saeed's trial, has earned the nickname the Hanging Judge. Despite the fact that Judge Pir Abbasi has been individually sanctioned by the European Union and that the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom under the chair of Ms. Sweat and also now vice chair has repeatedly made a similar recommendation to the United States Department of State, to date, the U.S. has failed to place any sanctions on Judge Pir Abbasi. The EU has acted, the United States has not. You heard from Nagme about the horrific prison conditions that Saeed is enduring, that he's being denied basic medical care, and that he's been transferred to a much more difficult prison than Evin prison. See, this is Raja Shah prison, built for 5,000 violent criminals, real criminals, murderers, rapists, drug dealers, people convicted and sentenced to death or life in prison. Built for 5,000 inmates, it is currently housing approximately 22,000. It's a prison out of control with violence. To define the situation as inhumane would be a gross understatement. In addition to the horrific abuse and torture Pastor Saeed has faced at the hands of his own brutal Iranian captors, Pastor Saeed has not always had the full backing of his own government. And I want to be clear here, I mean the executive branch. Members of Congress have been with us on both sides, Republican and Democrat, since the beginning. When the Iranian government initially detained Pastor Saeed, the U.S. State Department excused its lack of assistance on the fact that the U.S. lacked any diplomatic ties with Iran. That doesn't work anymore. So now, when the U.S. has historically communicated with, sits across from the table, the Iranian government, the U.S. government has still failed to secure the release of Pastor Saeed and the other Americans in prison. As Nagme pointed out, this Congress has spoken with strength and unity on behalf of Pastor Saeed, and we are grateful that President Obama expressed his concern about the Americans imprisoned in Iran on his historic phone call with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani back in September. But as you all know, as members of Congress, as principals, if there is no follow-up to your discussion, little gets done. Everyone has a lot to do. And you have staffs, you have your staff that you rely on to make sure what you've agreed to on phone calls or said you will do is done. Yet, 2 days ago, Secretary of State Kerry sat at this table, and to you, Chairman Smith, he said that this matter is a priority for him. But numerous statements from his department claim that Saeed was either not brought up or only discussed on the margins. For us, you can understand the incompetence. Was he brought up? Was he on the margins? If you look at Secretary Kerry's statements to you, Chairman Smith, it's very difficult to tell. He made a pretty broad statement of no. But you've had others, including those who are even going before their hearings in the Senate for confirmation yesterday, told Senator Rubio that he was brought up on the margins of the P5 plus one. So who's telling the truth? We were told he was by the State Department, but then when Secretary Kerry testified, there's other statements we can point to as well, the Deputy National Security Advisor, Tony Blinken, said on CNN to Wolf Blitzer, no, it was not. It is not part of the agenda. But yet the National Security Council spokesperson, Ben Rhodes, later that day on CNN said it was on the margins. On the margins is bad enough. Not at all is even worse. We don't know which one of those to believe. And that's why we believe, Mr. Chairman, that that offer from Secretary Kerry to hold that classified briefing for members of Congress should be absolutely acted upon. And we would welcome the opportunity to provide you with the kind of questions and information that we've received from the State Department so that you can get the answers and we can hear back from you at least to know whether you're satisfied with what we believe is our government's incompetence. Let me just close begin by expressing my gratitude to both subcommittees for taking an active role in Pastor Saeed's case. And just to highlight again that while our government sat across the table from the Iranian delegation, Saeed was transferred to a worse prison. Was it on the margins or was it not on the agenda? That's an answer we need from the United States Executive Branch and from the Obama administration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, folks, you may be asking right now, what can I do? Continue to pray. You know, this family would love to have their husband and their father home before Christmas, and we still have time for the U.S. to do the right thing. But second, folks, right now, you can join our petition. This is the final day to do it, actually. A petition to make sure those sanctions are increased, that the threat of sanctions remains. The government, our White House, our State Department, the president is against that. We need you to stand, folks. Call now, 877-989-2255. It's the final day for you to add your name to this petition. And when you ask, what can I do to help save Saeed, here's one thing you can do. Call that toll-free number now. It's the final chance you're going to have, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. We come back, Nagme Abedini's testimony before the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittees yesterday.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulo, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to J Secchio Live. This is Jordan Secchio in Washington, D.C. You just heard my testimony. And by the way, this is all posted to ACLJ.org. Here is Nagme Abedini's testimony before the House Foreign Affairs two joint subcommittees on efforts to save Saeed, her husband, an American pastor imprisoned in Iran. As I'm speaking to you, day 445 of his imprisonment. If you want to do something about it, call our toll-free number and add your name to our brand-new petition to increase these sanctions on Iran. She supports that. We support that. Call now, 877-989-2255. It's the final day to do so. You can also sign that petition at aclj.org. Now let's go listen to Nagme Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife's testimony before Congress yesterday.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the subcommittees. My name is Nagme Abedini. When I spoke in front of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission in March of this year, I had anticipated that I would battle the Iranian government for my husband's freedom. I never anticipated that I would also have to battle my own government, and that the journey would become even much more difficult than it had been. My husband is suffering because he's a Christian. He's suffering because he's an American. Yet his own government did not fight for him when his captors were across the table from them. Saeed converted from Islam to Christianity in the year 2000 after having a radical encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, Jesus Christ told Saeed that he was coming back soon and to go preach the gospel. And from there, his life was transformed. And if he would sit here to testify today, he would say he found true joy, love, and peace that he could not find in his former religion. So today, Saeed sits in that Iranian prison being tortured for his faith. He will not deny the faith that has saved him, that has given him life. He refuses to deny his faith in Jesus and return to Islam. When the Iranian government sentenced him to 8 years in prison in the January of this year, they went back to the year 2000 to 2005, the year of his conversion, and the year where the house churches were started, and he was working under a more moderate government. Khatami was the name of the president before President Ahmadinejad. And at that time, he was working under the supervision of a government-approved building church. Iranian government was well aware of the house church movement and was allowing it. So for them to have arrested him in the year 2012, when he was working with the Iranian government on an orphanage, on a government-approved orphanage, and to say that his crime dated back to 13 years earlier when he was working under a different administration, under a different president, was unbelievable. And to say that he was undermining the national security of Iran by having started those house churches, Christian gatherings. And they actually, in the court hearing, they actually said he'd conducted soft war. It's unbelievable that they would consider peaceful gatherings of Christian an act of war. As many of you have mentioned today, Saeed has been tortured. He's been beaten, abused, and told that to deny his Christian faith, and that if he would return to Islam, he would be freed. He's been in that prison. The kids and I have not seen him since June of last year, but he's been sitting in Evin prison since September, and recently last month he was moved to Rajai Shahr prison, where his condition have worsened, and the kids and I fear his life. I want to share a little bit of a personal story here. This is the first day of school. It was a very painful time. I'm trying to smile, but tears were streaming down my face as I got my two kids ready for school, knowing that their dad was missing. And as I took him to school, I could see their wandering eyes looking at their daddies, saying, you know, holding their kids and putting them to school. And I was trying to distract them, but it was a painful time for them to know that their daddy was missing, and it was a painful time for me. And it's been hard. It's been a struggle as a mom watching my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old cry themselves to sleep every single night for the last 444 days. And knowing that unless we get Saeed out quickly, he might serve the 8 years or even more, or he might not even survive that prison sentence. He wrote a recent letter to my daughter on her 7th birthday, and he'd seen a picture of her And his parents, when they visit him in prison, they say that when they hold the pictures of the kids in front of him, he just cries. And he wrote in a letter, he said, "It is so hard and so heartbreaking for me to see these pictures and to know that I'm not there beside you as you grow. I'm here to help the kids. I came here to help the kids that did not have mommies and daddies, but my own kids lost their daddy. This breaks my heart so much. I want you to know that I did not want to put so much pressure on your little shoulders, my precious children." While I am grateful for the official declaration to national media and public acknowledgement from our government, it is not enough. We need to see action to back our rhetoric in the living, breathing form of Saeed Abedini, alive and well, having been immediately released to the reuniting embrace of our family. Not all Americans are Christians, but every American, regardless of their belief, needs to be reassured and know that our government will take decisive action to protect us if our fundamental rights are violated. An American president who has taken his oath of office with honorable intention and is attuned to the international issues will recognize Iran's treatment of Saeed for the assault that it is on our national security. For Iran's treatment of Saeed Abedini is not about one American citizen experiencing a living nightmare for his religious belief. Iran's treatment of Saeed Abedini is an experiment. Iran is curious. How strong is our American president? How serious is he about American security? Would he act immediately with firm resolve to protect and to defend? Time is of the essence. Iran's experiment for evaluating the integrity of America's response to assault on her security is almost complete. And Iran is not the only country watching our reaction. Even if our president can't see the reality, the rest of the world can. In the interest of Americans' confidence, in the competency of her government official, her national security, and international standing, Saeed Abedini needs to be released now. I want to say that I can't express how grateful I am to the members of Congress who have refused to let my husband be forgotten. And I would like to end with, as we approach Christmas, which is a joyful time of the year, but it's a painful time for our family to celebrate another year without my husband. I want to end with this. Saeed's in that prison because he believes, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And this season, I not only pray for the release of my husband, but I hope and I pray that our government would realize where we've fallen from and how far we've fallen, and that we would return to the source of blessing. May God bless America, the land that I love. Thank you. God bless you.
Folks, take action. You can do something here. As I sit here in Washington, D.C., pick up the phone. This is the final chance, the final opportunity you will have to add your name in support of the increased sanctions. We need to let Congress know. Don't listen to the White House. Don't listen. Don't let that lobbying change your mind. Stand strong. Stand firm. Pastor Saeed needs your help. Call our toll-free number. It's a new effort, but the final day to add your name is right now. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. We'll talk to you next time.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Folks, as we continue to play the congressional hearing yesterday on efforts to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, you've heard from Nagma Abedini, you've heard from me. There were other participants at the hearing yesterday, and one of those was Dr. Katrina Lantos-Sweat. She is the daughter of former Congressman Tom Lantos, a great human rights advocate and member, a former member of Congress who has passed away. She carries on his tradition. Listen to her testimony. So she's not representing the Abedini family. She's not a conservative or a liberal. She's also the vice chair of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. She talks about what the government, what the United States government could be doing to help save Saeed. Take a listen.
I commend your focus on the continued deterioration of religious freedom conditions in Iran, most notably for Christians and other religious minorities, and for highlighting the egregious treatment of Pastor Saeed Abedini. USERF stands with Mrs. Abedini and her family, has called repeatedly for the pastor's release, and urges the U.S. government at the highest levels to demand his release. Unfortunately, the appalling treatment of Pastor Abedini reflects the dismal reality of religious freedom and human rights in Iran today. The rights and beliefs defining the Iranian dictatorship's character remain self-consciously religious and inescapably theocratic. Any Iranian dissenting from the government's interpretation of Shia Islam may be considered the state's enemy and a potential target for abuse. Because religion matters significantly to Iran's government, we must look at how the government treats the right to religious freedom to assess the overall status or direction of human rights. That lens also is necessary to evaluate Iran's current president, Hassan Rouhani. The number of Christians and Baha'is jailed during his short tenure has increased, and a crackdown on Protestant Christians has brought numerous arrests. In a particularly outrageous miscarriage of justice, Judge Pir Abbasi, notorious for perpetrating religious freedom violations, sentenced Saeed Abedini, an Iranian-born American pastor, on January 27, 2013, to 8 years in prison for, quote, threatening the national security of Iran. His crimes? Participating in Iran's house church movement and raising money for an orphanage. Human rights groups view his trial, like those of other condemned, as unfair and the legal process deeply flawed. He spent many weeks in solitary confinement and suffered mental and physical abuse while in Evin prison. Last month, Pastor Abedini was transferred to the Gohardasht prison outside Tehran, which is known for its harsh and unsanitary conditions. The U.S. at the highest level should call on the Iranian government to release all prisoners who have been jailed due to their religion or belief and drop all charges against those with pending cases. USERF encourages representatives, and this is really directed at each one of you, to join the Defending Freedoms Project, an initiative of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission in conjunction with USERF and Amnesty International. Members adopt a prisoner of conscience and advocate on their behalf and shine a light on the conditions in the country and the government that imprisons them. The U.S. government should continue to identify Iranian government agencies and officials responsible for particularly severe violations of religious freedom, bar them from entry into the U.S., and freeze their assets. My written testimony notes 9 individuals, including the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Al-Khamenei. Just last week, National Security Advisor Susan Rice reaffirmed the administration's commitment to continue to sanction Iran's human rights abusers. We welcome further action by the Treasury and State Departments, especially given that the European Union has far outpaced the United States in identifying and sanctioning these violators.
All right, folks, coming up, more from the congressional hearing. You can do something to help save Saeed. This is the final day to add your name to a petition. We're getting to members of Congress to stand strong, to keep the pressure on Iran with new sanctions. Nagma Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, supports that. We need your support. Congress is getting lobbied aggressively by the White House and the State Department to not increase those sanctions. That's not how things work in this part of the world. And you heard that from some of the testimony we just heard from Dr. Sweat, Katrina Lantos-Sweat from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Call now and add your name. This is the final day to do so. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or sign up at aclj.org. We'll be right back. I'll know my name as it's called again.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagmeh, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow as we continue to kind of give you the updates from the congressional hearing yesterday here on Capitol Hill, where Nagmeh Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, the American pastor imprisoned in Iran for 445 days, convicted only because of being a Christian. And we testified primarily before it was 14 House Republicans, two House Democrats, but only one House Democrat, the ranking member of the subcommittee, stayed behind to actually ask questions, or you could say make comments, mostly critical of mine. He did not like the fact that I criticized the administration. This is Congressman Deutsch from Florida. And you may live in this congressional district, but I know we have a lot of listeners in Florida. Congressman Deutsch also happens to be the congressman who represents the Levinson family as his constituents. Robert Levinson, that, as we were led to believe, was a former FBI agent who went missing in Iran, who the government has lumped together with Saeed Abedini and Amir Hekmati as three Americans that need to be returned home because they believe the Iranian government knows where Mr. Levinson is located and could return him. But what we found out after this, which you'll hear, which was a discussion where I made the congressman actually sit back down. You should watch the video online. It was a pretty bold move, I'd say. I don't think I've ever told a member of Congress to sit back down. He was trying to leave the room as I was responding to his criticism. Pretty unbelievable. And then we find out later that day that he was also in the dark. Robert Levinson is a CIA agent. Being held by Iran or gone missing in Iran. A very different story than Saeed Abedini's. So he said, oh, you should be feel comforted to know that the government's doing everything they can. Well, they were misleading that congressman as well. And that family received millions of dollars, not to talk about that. But the AP broke the story last night after our hearing. Take a listen to this exchange.
Mr. Chairman, you know, I would assert again, as in my opening statement, the ineptness of the State Department's relationship with Mrs. Abedini. She is represented not just by us, but ultimately by the U.S. government, who is sitting at that table. And I will tell you that in conversations with them, that they ask us to keep confidential, and they ask us to, you know, what updates they're doing around the world. And for instance, I will point out something that was news to us. I don't know if Secretary Kerry misspoke when he mentioned the Swedish, but they had never been mentioned to us on any phone calls. And that is, there are countries that have. That is not one of them. He may have misspoke. But that would be something to clear up. We've also been told on those phone calls. Now, this is by lower level staff, mostly in NEA, so the Near East Affairs Department of the State, that it was absolutely being brought up on the margins. So why would Secretary Kerry have been so broad in that statement that it was not? And then third and finally, the idea that this would, that bringing them up would make them hostages or pawns, I would beg to differ and state that Mr. Abedini, as well as Mr. Hekmati and Mr. Levinson, already are pawns, and they already are hostages of Iran. They are American citizens being held by a foreign government. We're sitting at the table with them. Some have been hostages for nearly 7 years, 2 years, or 444 days. They're already at that point. Thank you.
Mr. Deutsch.
Let me start. I have a couple questions for Dr. Lantos-Sweat and Dr. Kalangar. Let me start, though, just by telling Ms. Abedini that there is a real commitment by Congress to bring your husband home, and there is a real commitment by the entire government, including the administration, to bring your government home. And I didn't come to this hearing this morning to apologize or come to the defense of the administration, but I would respectfully suggest that as we address these human rights issues, the best way for us to address them, starting with your husband and his release, is to work in a unified fashion to do it. And I don't believe, Mr. Sekulow, that it's helpful for us in this hearing for the hearing to turn on allegations of incompetence and ineptitude by the administration. I just wanted to make that point. I will look forward to the classified briefing that we're going to have with Secretary Kerry and others. Pastor Abedini, I can only speak to the briefings that I've had with respect to my constituent, and I know discussions that we've had on a broader level about human rights. I would just respectfully suggest that there is a real commitment to bringing home. I am sympathetic. I understand your frustration. I don't blame you one minute for the immense difficulty and the sadness that you feel every day that your husband's not with you and your family. That commitment, as we've all expressed here, is very real.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, respond to one of Congressman Deutsch's statements. The incompetence has not been at the level of Republicans and Democrats in Congress. It's been at a bureaucratic level. And it's clear because on television, members of the administration at the White House, on National Security Council, says one thing happens in the negotiation. The Deputy National Security Advisor says something else happens. Secretary Kerry then says something else. And I would add for the congressman, with all due respect, I know he represents as a constituent Robert Levinson. 7 years missing? I don't want to be here 6 years from now. I'd say that's incompetent, especially when we have an opportunity.
You know what, Mr. Sekulow, excuse me. First of all, we're here today to focus on human rights in a country that has absolutely no respect for them. And we're focusing on human rights in a country that has immense respect for them. And to bring discredit on the men and women who have spent the past 7 years trying to bring Bob Levinson home as to advance some agenda, unknown agenda that I can't fathom, when we're all trying to work together to focus on human rights and to bring Pastor Abedini home, it's not right.
Congressman, things have significantly changed. And as you're walking out, in the last month, we are now in negotiations with Iran. That didn't happen 6 years ago. So whatever efforts you're talking about before, it was different. But in the last 6 weeks, we have a new relationship with Iran. We can't think about Iran as, oh, and we still hear this from the State Department, we have no diplomatic ties. Well, depending on how you define that, when you're sitting down at the table regularly, I think that the whole situation has fundamentally changed. So to accept what was previously done as satisfactory is no longer satisfactory. That's what I'm saying.
Mr. Sekulow, since my time has expired and you've claimed some of the time that I no longer had, I would simply tell you that the commitment that exists to bring Pastor Abedini home and Mr. Hekmati home and to bring home my constituent is real. And have things changed? Absolutely they have. And does every one of us here believe that this is an issue that should be raised at every single meeting? Yes. I've said it, we've all said it, and we all need to ensure that it happens.
But so far we know it hasn't happened.
Well, gentlemen, you'll...
Chairman, I agree wholeheartedly with you that on every occasion, we should do as much as we can to bring home Pastor Abedini and to bring home Mr. Hekmati and Jacob and my constituent, and that we should do everything we can to make this issue paramount. I agree with you. I simply point out that our goal, in addition to bringing home, those who have been persecuted and held hostage, that our goal as well, more broadly, is to elevate human rights in this debate here, to elevate human rights in this Congress, to make sure that this and every administration of either party puts human rights squarely, not only on the table, but right up front. That's what we're all striving for. I'm simply making the point that as we strive to elevate human rights, I just hate to see our efforts to do that amount to a round attack on the administration. And I don't disagree. I think the administration, let me just finish. I think the administration needs to be, as I said, the administration needs to be pushed to make sure that human rights matters every single day. That's our job, and we do it well. And we need to continue to do it. And Mr. Chairman, you've been a leader on these issues as long as you've been in this House, and I'm grateful for it. But I respectfully suggest that it becomes more difficult for us to make human rights the fundamental focus that it needs to be internationally if it appears that somehow this has amounted, this has turned into some sort of round of political squabbling.
Well,
and that's the only point I'm trying to make.
Folks, we need you to take action. As you can see, we do have opposition. You know, there are always politics at play at any issue when you're talking about Washington, D.C. And the State Department and the White House and Congress. We've had strong bipartisan support, but I think that Democrat member of Congress you just heard was sent there on a mission, unfortunately, for him that he didn't carry out because he wasn't totally informed by his government. We found out later that day that the constituent he represents that went missing in Iran was a CIA agent, and the family was paid millions not to continue a lawsuit against the federal government. Folks, we need you to take a stand here. You can do something to help save Saeed. Call now, 877-989-2255, as we do battle here in Washington, D.C. Continue your prayers. You can also sign up at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. His health is deteriorating, and prison officials refuse to provide him with badly needed medication. This week on Capitol Hill, a critical congressional hearing focusing squarely on Pastor Saeed's plight. Testimony from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, along with ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulo, raising important questions about the lack of involvement by the Obama administration to secure his freedom. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So you've heard a lot about the congressional hearing before the two joint subcommittees of the House Foreign Affairs Committee that we, both Nagma Abedini, Pastor Saeed's wife, the American pastor imprisoned in Iran, and I testified before. There was a lot of media coverage, and we're going to play some of that for you right now. Nagma sat down with Greta Van Susteren in a very personal interview for Fox News with Greta directly to talk about how this has impacted her family, to talk about how the case has progressed and what it's been like, the frustrations of having her husband imprisoned in Iran. Take a listen. This is Nagma with Greta. And also we'll be playing some special coverage by Brett Baer and James Rosen on the hearings yesterday. Take a listen.
An American, yes, one of us, is in prison in Iran. He's a Christian pastor, and now the Obama administration not mentioning the pastor's plight during nuclear talks. Pastor Saeed Abedini's wife is angry about that. And today, Nagma Abedini taking her case to Congress.
I had anticipated that I would battle the Iranian government for my husband's freedom. I never anticipated that I would also have to battle my own government, and that the journey would become even much more difficult than it had been. My husband is suffering because he's a Christian. He's suffering because he's an American. Yet his own government did not fight for him when his captors were across the table from them.
And Nagma Abedini joins us. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Have you heard from your husband at all in the past couple months, directly from you? Can you speak to him in prison?
No, actually, the Iranian government has denied any communication between my husband and I since January of this year.
Have you had any conversations directly with the State Department so that you get any sort of updates on your husband, to the extent that they can get any updates?
They've just actually asked for updates after each prison visit that his family, his parents make. And, a lot of the updates we've received has been what's out on the media, that, you know, he was discussed on the margins of the talks. And
so zero. I mean, this is essentially a zero. You're not getting any information.
No.
You went to Congress because you were disappointed that in the nuclear talks with between the U.S. and Iran that your husband wasn't brought up.
You know, it was I think it was the best time, our best chance of leverage to have it be a precondition to nuclear talks. It would have been easy to demand Saeed's release and the release of the other Americans. And, you know, we've done a lot of good faith efforts. It would have been a good faith effort on Iran's part to release the Americans.
My heart bleeds for you. We've had conversations before, and I mean, you know, and I want your husband to come home, you know, yesterday, not now. But I heard Secretary of State John Kerry, I was totally with you, like, why didn't they bring him up in the discussions? But I heard Secretary of State John Kerry saying that what he feared is that the talks on the nuclear weapons issue would fall apart, and that your husband would then be pinned to it and would be part of it, and there'd be less of a chance to get him up because he'd be seen as a pawn in the talks. Is that, do you understand that or have any sort of thought on that?
That's exactly why we asked not for it to be discussed during the nuclear talks, but as a precondition. So even before talking, before even discussing any nuclear issues, to have it be a precondition that they would release. We've taken actions that have shown good faith effort from our end, and to have a precondition to release the Americans, not necessarily to involve the nuclear talks with it, but have it be a precondition.
And what do you at least think that the State Department is genuinely concerned about your husband? You may not agree with their path or strategy, but do you have the sense, or do you think he's just discarded and just another, you know, there's just another American in custody someplace?
I'm not confident that they're so proactive in it. They haven't been transparent with me on exactly what they're doing, even confidentially. So I don't know what they're doing. And it seemed like it took months and months of pressure and a congressional hearing in March before we had any movement. And then even after that, it has seemed like it's been a battle to get our government to really speak up about this important human rights issue and about my husband.
So they don't have someone just assigned you to constantly give you information so that you're sort of... That's what I think is such a huge mistake of the State Department, is they should have someone constantly in touch with you saying, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we know, rather than otherwise you feel abandoned.
Yeah, and the contact they've had has been to get updates from me on those, you know, on the visits. It hasn't been to reassure me that there's you know, movement to share any information with me, that to let me feel assured that
You know, they are working on that.
Well, it sure wouldn't take a lot for the State Department to assign one of their many employees to do that. And I wish they would do that. That would be the humane thing to do and make it a lot easier on you and I know your children as well. Anyway, nice to see you and good luck.
Thank you.
Negotiators have burned through 4 days of talks in Vienna trying to work out the details of the Iran nuclear deal to short-circuit its alleged weapons program. But as tough as that is, the president is finding just as many obstacles here at home. Chief Washington correspondent James Rosen tells us what they are.
It's been a struggle as a mom watching my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old cry themselves to sleep every single night for the last 444 days.
A House Foreign Affairs subcommittee heard emotional testimony from Naghma Abedini, wife of the Iranian-American pastor Saeed Abedini, who's been jailed in Iran and reportedly tortured and beaten there after being convicted of threatening national security by creating a network of Christian churches.
And I very much feel abandoned, and I feel my husband has been abandoned.
Aides say President Obama raised the Abedini case in his historic phone call in September with Iran's president, and that Secretary of State Kerry has repeatedly followed up with Iran's foreign minister. But GOP lawmakers asked why the cases of Abedini and two other Americans believed to be captive in Iran weren't linked to ongoing nuclear negotiations with the regime.
If they cannot release these individuals and others held without due process, then how are we to trust them on much greater positions that have national and international consequences?
Those questions were addressed by the State Department's number 3 official in a simultaneous hearing of the Senate Banking Committee.
We don't want them to become pawns in the negotiation. We don't want Iran to up the ante either on the nuclear side or the American citizen side by mixing them up in this.
Senators from both parties harangued Sherman with complaints about the nuclear deal, saying it gave away too much in sanctions relief while conceding to the regime the right to enrich uranium.
A lot of people think that Secretary Kerry is so anxious to make a deal for lots of legacy reasons that he's willing to overlook some of the details that are so important.
I'm beginning to think, based upon all of this, that maybe what the Senate needs to do is define the end game, and at least what it finds as acceptable as the final status. Because I'm getting nervous about what I perceive will be acceptable to us.
Folks, I know you had a lot of information today, and we wanted to give you the kind of full coverage of what we did yesterday at this congressional briefing before the two joint subcommittees of the House of Representatives, the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We need you. This is the final segment right before we sign off for today, and this final opportunity for you to sign the petition, a brand new petition. We need Congress to increase this threat of sanctions on Iran. Naghma Abedini supports this. We support this. The White House and the State Department are lobbying Congress to stop, and there have been some hiccups along the way. So, folks, we need you to take a stand here. Final opportunity to add your name to this petition. You can always continue your prayers, but we have to move on with different issues they arise. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Your final day to add your name to this petition to increase those sanctions, the threat of sanctions on Iran. You can also, by the way, watch the whole hearing. I encourage you to do that online at aclj.org and the media we've done, or call 877-989-2255. We'll talk to you next time.
No time to put things right, to put things right. Things right, to put things right, to put things right, to put things right.
American pastor Saeed Abedini's situation is dire. Imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith, Pastor Saeed is facing life-threatening conditions. Stand with the ACLJ now. Send a powerful message. Pastor Saeed is an American citizen who must be released. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.